So we're going to look now at what has unfolded in Mangaung, and this is really gang violence that we are seeing at play. And this violence this week resulting in the killing of one of the learners in that province. Let me welcome and invite onto the show Dorcas Sekabate, who is a school safety and farm school hostel project, the head of that in the Department of Basic Education in the Free State. Dorcas, good morning to you. Thanks for your time this morning.
Good morning, Kathy, and your listeners. Thank you for having us on your show.
Thank you for making time for this conversation. Also joining this conversation is His Majesty. This is Khosi Geoffrey Mokgorosi. Good morning, Khosi Mokgorosi.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Sis Kathy, and good morning to all the listeners of SAFM.
Also part of this conversation is the General Secretary of the Mangaung Service Delivery Forum, Mpho Mojanaga. Mpho, good morning.
Thanks for having us this morning.
All right. I think, Dorcas, I'm going to begin with you so that you can just, you know, give us a sense of what has happened for my sake and also for the sake of the listeners, so that we are all on the same page in terms of what some of the details around this killing may have been. What have you as the department been able to uncover?
Thank you, Kathy. What we have been able to uncover as the department is there are gangs around those schools where, unfortunately, the life of Elena was taken. And our sense as a department is we observe this in the main during examinations when learners are not attending schools. What happened on that particular unfortunate day is after the writing of exams, learners from other schools came to the particular school where the learner was stabbed, and seemingly this is what happens every day after school, that the learners after writing will gather, sing, and learners from other schools will come, and then they will start fighting. That's what happened on that particular day. But this thing is gang related. There are gangs around our communities. As I said in when I started, is we normally see this thing, especially when these learners start writing examinations and they have a lot of time in their hands. That's when they start manufacturing. I can almost say to the listeners, it happened in June, and the department, when they were writing examinations, but the department as well as the police were able to go to the schools to talk to the learners to arrest the situation. And the situation went down and calmed down. And then it started again now when we lost the life of this learner, unfortunately.
So Dorcas, then it's a pattern of behavior that the department is aware of. When you say that they gather after the exam and they start singing, and then other learners from other schools come specifically to fight, explain to us exactly what happens in that setup.
No, what they normally do, when they start singing, then the other schools will come, and a fight will ensue as such. And then of course, it's a pattern that we have observed as the department. That's why we have also involved the police in terms of, because we have seen that this thing is happening after examinations, to talk to the police so that after the writing of examinations, then the police will patrol the area. But the issue that you're getting from the police is, even if they are patrolling, these children come from different sides. When they are on this side, they are on the other side. They are not able to deal with it. But as I say, as soon as we realize that there's this pattern, we involve the police so that they can be able to patrol those schools to be able to ensure that the situation comes down and our learners are protected.
Is the conflict, are the fights pre-planned? And is the singing a way of indicating to, to the others that now is the time for us to start the fight?
No, I don't think it's a way of starting a fight. It's just learners that would be singing, and they will gather together to sing. I don't think it's a way of saying now we're starting a fight.
All right. Okay. Mpho, let me bring you in here. What have you been able to see about and around this violence?
Okay. Thank you very much again, Casey. It's very disappointing to pick up that an institution like the Department of Education, resourced as it is unable to diagnose the root causes of the problem and how to pick up against this kind of situation we are faced with. It is not only about during the exam time. This is a situation that occurs time and again nowadays that has become a norm in our school. Because you see, violence, it's a product of a system of rule. And this particular system uses an instrument that molds public opinion, which is the media, to instigate this type of a behavior to society, in society. Now, it's a social construct, and we find a situation whereby most of our kids, their problem emanates not only at school, but they emanate from home, within the society, and spill over at school. Probably a school becomes one of the platform of expression of this social construct we are talking about. We are bringing up a generation that is very angry, that is very bitter, that seems to have lost a direction, a generation that is very anti-authoritarian, that does not actually accept guidance nor leadership, except taking it from the media itself and any other influence that we may find in. Why I'm saying at this present moment the department is unscientific nor realistic in its diagnosis is that we have on our desk as many incidents that have been reported to us to intervene on at school level in relation to violence at our schools, where the Department of Education or the school management has either failed to report the case or has failed to manage the case as it's supposed to be, because it exposes the weaknesses of the Department of Education. So officials at the Department of Education, at the level of directorship, the level of principalship, they actually ensure that this particular incident don't get reported to public, because they would actually expose them and put them in a very bad light and deal with their credibility. Now, it's the kind of a problem that we are faced with as society, that at this present moment, we have a situation where there's actually lack of management or prevention of this kind of behavior, incidents, and violent type of situation, where at the same time we lack resources to actually be able to understand as to why this kind of situation takes place. Our kids at this present moment are brought up by single parents, especially women. Some of them see a situation on experience at home, a situation of violence where a parent would be battered every day by a father or stepfather or a boyfriend and so on. And this is the type of anger that our kids, because they cannot be able to express it at home, they will want to express it wherever they come across amongst their peers as a form of dominance, as a form of survival, as an objective to actually be able to get out of this cage they find themselves in because they are boxed up with this kind of a situation. And the manner in which the Department of Education directs its resources in dealing with this kind of situation is very unscientific and very mismanaged. We don't have social workers, we don't have psychologists, we do not have resources at schools that would actually preoccupy the minds of our kids to grow in a manner of becoming responsible parents. We do not have a support system that actually teaches and empower our kids, especially boys, who to understand the role of a man in society and how to also relate with a woman or a girl in society and at school at this present moment. And the department, the manner in which it approaches this thing, it's completely, completely out of touch with reality.
All right. Mpo, thanks for that perspective. Let me invite Khosi Mokgorosi to have, perhaps your take in terms of what you have seen in your community and the violence that is taking place between these young people.
Okay, thank you very much, Casey. I thank everyone that has participated in this topic. You know, it's truly disheartening to see how young people, are causing this havoc of gangsterism, murdering one another, not living in a very peaceful way amongst each other. You know, there's a journal that shows that gangsterism in Bloemfontein had started in the 1945 as thoughts, and they grew and grew to this level whereby now we see drugs taking over, drunkenness, all this ill discipline amongst our young people. So I'm of a view that what has Paul has already spoken of that now, we need to, engage all participants in communities, in government, in non-profit organizations, to come in and look into this situation, since we've been involved through our Suvinelo student reunion that we had invited the Hawks to our school, just to inspire these young ones, these children about the positive future they might look upon and to, move away from this gangsterism. Just to be taught that we are human beings and we should live amongst one another and to move out of this, what you call gangsterism, so that we have a peaceful society, Because now when we look into these young guys or children, they are stealing, they are breaking out, they are doing all. You go to the Suvinelo school and you look at how our school was destroyed by these gangsters. These people who are still smoking all these drugs, doing all these things that are funny and that are unacceptable. So we have to truly come together.
Khosi, you talk about these gangsters, right? And from your understanding, what is the level of involvement here? Are these gangs originating in schools, or do you find gangs that are outside of schools that then recruit learners within their ranks?
Okay, you might find that as being students, they are part of the community. They might have started this, you know, maybe after school or before schooling time, and they might be extending this or expanding their, modus operandi within the schools, you know, by luring others to be part of the gangs. But now you find that mainly people that are living in the poorest communities, in what we call the Mikuku, you see, that's where you find that most of these young guys are coming from that side. Not to say or to blame that now people from poor communities are the ones that are causing this, but now in most cases, you find that these young boys, you know, and girls, for an example, Born to Kill, it was a group of more than 250 young girls and boys, you know, operating in Mangaung, and it was led by somebody else. And there were these Maroma. Then they form all these groups whereby they identify themselves, you know, within a certain circle whereby others are forced to join. If you don't join, we kill you or we stab you or you go and attack your family. So it's two ways. But now you find that we first lived as a community, then we had institutions of education or whatever that we went to. And we start grooming from there and growing from there. And these gangs make it easier to organizing others, because now they start from community, then they go to school, then they form all these things, gangs that are growing, then start attacking communities, taking drugs, you know, stealing, intruding houses, doing all these funny things, assaulting one another, you know. So if you can call in the policing forum, you know, our ward councillors. As I know that our ward councillor here, Comrade Tona Mukhoti, had been involved in this, and we had a program whereby he dealt with these gangsters. You see, day and night, there were night patrols. You know, they went to schools. We are looking for this. And many other groups, the Anya Tsoti and many other, you know, the Mangaung Service Delivery Forum, as employees, they are representing them. So it shows that, I don't know whether psychologists or who should come in and start teaching our children to think positive.
All right.
Into this future, yes.
All right. So we'll take a closer look then at those gangs that you have spoken about, the BTK, as they're known, which is the Born to Kill, and the Maroma. These seem to be the two main gangs that are operating in that area. We'll continue the conversation after the latest 10:30 news headlines.
Kathy Motlatlana on SAFM.
We continue the conversation. We're looking at the gangs that are, terrorizing effectively parts of Mangaung, and these gangs involving, worryingly, school-going children. You heard from the department in terms of the Department of Education, that is, in terms of what they understand to be driving the violence. There is, of course, a different view that has also emerged from the local service delivery forum and the local king or chief that is in charge of affairs there. So what prompted this conversation really was the killing of an 11-year-old, of a grade 11 learner, rather, who was stabbed to death earlier on this week. That incident took place on Tuesday, and it sparked a lot of reaction from the community. And when you look at the brutal way in which this young person's life was taken, but also just the sheer disregard, there seems to be absolutely no regard for human life. by the gangs who were behind this killing. Because first they attacked him, he went on and he survived. He was on the ground. When they realized that he was still alive, they came back to effectively finish him off. There's no other way of describing it. And Mpo, I mean, that kind of brutality, to see that level of brutality coming from youngsters, it's chilling. It's completely chilling.
Of course it is. You see, the other thing that also we must take into account is that the country and our cities also have been infiltrated, like Kosi has already indicated earlier on. It has been infiltrated by the major gangsters. The BTKs, the Romans, are just minor or the vision or byproduct of the main gangsterism that is actually underground operating in our cities. It's become part of that drugs, high gangsterism, trafficking, and all those kind of things. Now, the product or the being a part of being recruited or being a chief of this kind of
all right.
Gangsters.
Mpo, sorry to come in. There's just a bit of difficulty with your line. I think we might have to call you back because we're losing the connection. What I do want to do, though, is play some of the voice notes that come from members of the community who were reacting to the killing of this grade 11 learner.
Ke komrate mo ipone. Ngwana o gagathuwa mo. Ke tshomi ya ngwanaka. When the message came montlong, gone go thwe ke ngwanake a ntse gagathiwa. So my children went out only to find gore ga se ngwanaka, ke tshomi ya ngwana waka. Lebitso la gae ke Thato. O dula ka mo Letebele mo Rocklands Ward 14. Ga a sa phele. It's so tough. Ke kopa re thuseng o kgono wa ngwanao. Ke kopa re thuseng family ya ngwano. And start re etseng bosho ba gore these gangsters di a fela, comrades. This is so tough. Let us not wait di fitlha matlong a rona. Let us not wait e be bana ba rona. Nna ke bonka jalo ka ngwana wa ka because he was a friend to my child. Please, ka lo kopa comrades, whichever way that you can assist, gore na re tla etsang for justice to be done. Ngwaneng ngwanana, ka lo kopa. O gagathwe maobane. Amandla.
Good morning, comrades. Yo, ntho e e botlhoko. Setlogolwana sa ka maobane se kena ko St Bennet ko Roma. Ga ba tlo feta mo Hodisa, ba ne ba athekiwa ke bana ba Hodisa, ba ba nkela dintho tsa bone, ba nkile dithipa bana bao ba Hodisa. A o tlheng ga re thusetseng, ke a kopa.
Maobane, dumelang family, voice note e botlhoko ne. Maobane ha ka nako pula e ntsena ka bo 11 past 11 to 12, bana bana ba atlehang e ne le atlehang e le se sa Brown Brown ikaelelo kore e ne ka rekabe le bona ona ntho e ne e etsagala e ne le eng. Ke nnete ngwanoo ba mo bolaile maobane, ba mo bolaetse saete tsa mafora. So ke ntho utlwisang botlhoko and-e ga o tsebe le gore na go lwanelwa eng e kana-kana. E tlabe le dikenke tseo ke sekolo se itseng, se lata sekolo se itseng. ba kopana mo ene ba tseba go ba tswa fogo ba tsama ba sentse bang kile bo di thipa bo di entla re mo bone mo because ba tseba go ha ba sechiwe ha ba kena ka mo exam go mo so ba bamba ba tlebe ba ba emetse mo tsile mona ke di genke ka di genke go kopana go ba tlua mo o ba tlebe ba mmatla ba so e ke utlile mo bane gore go lwanelwa nomoro excite beng ke eng nomoro yeo ya tenyeo e lwanelwang yeo but it's true that one one wena ke nete o hloka etse mo bane.
All right, so those are just some of the voice notes from members of the community, and we did get permission to play those voice notes. You can hear how distressed they are about the situation, but also concerningly talking about the fact that when these learners go to write their exams, they go into those exam rooms armed. They leave home with knives and whatever other weapons that they feel they may need once the exam is over, because on their way home, that is where part of the conflict then is anticipated to happen. Dorcas, I mean, this to me seems like a clear place for the education department to be able to step in.
Yeah. Firstly, Kathy, let me correct that the issue that we are scientific as the department, we're not doing anything. The department has realized, and I must say before I continue that the problem that we are sitting with, and we have been consistent as the department, that the violence in our schools is just not a problem of the schools, it's the problem of the society. That's why the department has launched the quality teaching and learning campaign, so that we bring everybody on board to be able to assist the department in terms of dealing these issues that are facing us as a community. And I must really thank the line that Hosi is taking, that we must come together and be able to deal with this thing. It is true, and you can see, as you say, Kathy, correctly point out that these learners come to schools with weapons, which are sometimes used to attack the very same educators that must help mm-hmm. them. But they bring them so that, and if you can see that many of these gang-related fights happen between home and school, it is outside the school. And that does not say we're not taking responsibility as the department. I indicated earlier on that we are working with the police for the police to be able to patrol the schools to assist learners so that they can reach home safe. You would know that the MEC for Education in the First Place launched a campaign and in all districts in our province to call on parents and our communities to assist the department in terms of dealing with the violence that we have in our schools. And correctly so, the violence that we see in our schools is what we get from our communities, and it is transported into our schools. The MEC has also launched Magnificent Wednesday so that the learners can be able to play, because they have a lot of time in their hands to an extent that they get to be recruited by gangsters and then they become unruly. But Kathy, something that I must also indicate to the listener that is also creating a problem that we are having in our schools in the main is the drugs that are easily accessible to our schools. If you can see how this particular learner was killed, I don't think any person in their sober mind can be able to kill a human being like that boy was brutally killed. We have a serious problem of drugs in our schools that are then making these kids to be violent and then attack educators as well as their communities. And we are appealing and we have been appealing to our communities and our parents that we must work together with schools, report the drug lords so that the police can be able to arrest them, and then we can be able to deal with the situation that we have in our hands. But we added to that case, because we have seen as well the anger that we have amongst our boys, the department has embarked on a program where we have dialogue specifically with boys. And in other schools, what we do is these boys come with their parents, because in some instances we have realized that some of these children, their behavior is because the parents are not giving their children attention. And what came out of those dialogues between the fathers and their children is we realized that some fathers don't even know what their children like. And that's what those children raised, that at home they're also not getting attention. And in their way.
Yeah. So sorry to interject there, Dorcas. I wanted to specifically ask you about the opportunity for the department to intervene when it comes to searching young people when they do arrive at the school premises, and especially when writing exams, given that you know now what is likely to happen after the exam.
Look, in terms of searches in our school, we have a standing program with the South African Police Service of searches and seizures that they go to schools to search these learners for the dangerous weapons that they bring to our institution. But you can only do that with the assistance of the police. Yes, the schools can do them, but with the police we are able to uncover a lot of things, because then you have people of the law who are also can be able to protect and the educators,
all right,
as well as other learners.
All right, let me go to the phone lines and take Ahmed in Ennerdale. Ahmed, you want to contribute to this conversation? Good morning.
Good morning, Kathy. Kathy, can you remember the incident that happened in Vlakfontein? Hello?
Ahmed, I'm listening to you. Remind me what happened again?
The two learners, the one that was stabbed to death, that one was selling drugs, and the perpetrator was also selling dacha at school. So,
Can
you remember? When the school came out, the one learner got stabbed and he died.
Yes, I remember that story now.
Yeah. Now, Kathy, I'm not one to always blame the government for everything. What I'm saying, Kathy, is that this dacha story, it's like becoming like this word that we like to use. It's becoming like a pandemic. The government made it legal for children to carry dacha on their person. How can a government allowed to carry drugs on his or her person? Here in my township, there's a street where the school children, when the schools come out, the you will see the school from the other side, that other one from that side, they will congregate on that one corner. Even girls, Kathy. I once took out my driver's license out of my wallet. And when I approached that two boys, they were still busy rolling the saw. And you could see they were about 14, 15 years old. When I approached them, they thought I was a policeman because I had my driver's license card in my hand now. And they got such a fright that I put my card into my pocket. And I told them, if I see you again here with these things, to throw it away. And okay, they went home. But Kathy, I can't believe this. The government is actually they are also responsible for this.
And Ahmed, Given the fact that you know that these young people tend to carry with them these weapons, were you nervous at all having to approach them to discipline them for what they were doing? Yeah.
No, it's our children. It's our children. Whatever they can do to me, Kathy, that's a drug thing. Children are then even dying now, Kathy. Children are killing each other. Why must I be afraid, Kathy? I must approach them. I even went to that two girls that were sitting on a corner. I took it from them. They couldn't argue with me. They said nothing. I just take it from them. And I told them, if I see you here again, I'm going to call the police so that they can lock you up. But that was before this law came out that they are allowed with DACA. Even at...
Yeah, look, Ahmed, I think the point that you're raising is an important one. You know, have we seen the change of legislation then add or contribute to the problem, especially for minors, right? Does it need to be reviewed, especially where minors are concerned?
Yes, now you see, Cathy, this is also parents, us as parents. We should have make a stand when this law came out. Because I couldn't remember that a parent said anything about this. Because I'm always on a radio. I'm retired now, Kathy. I'm always on your station on SAFM. But I never heard a parent complain about this law that came out.
All right.
You are also to blame.
Let's leave it there for this morning, Ahmed. Thanks for that contribution. Felix in the Eastern Cape, good morning.
Morning, Kathy.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Felix.
Are you okay?
Yes, Felix, I'm well. Go for it.
Oh, Kathy. No, I was just checking. Maybe are you still going for your breakfast at prison? Kathy, these children, the way I look at it, because this is a very sad thing, because you send your child to school to be killed. Do you understand? And the government again is going to come back to its senses to have some way of punishing children that are not. We can't always be calling police. We also at school. You were also at school. But without your parents or somebody that's always going to tell you, no, behave. That was the motto. We know who's elderly and what you can take to school, how you must dress to school. Why is it now that these children do anything they like? They don't even, you know, even if they are wrong, they're not taken to prison. They're not locked up. They don't know what is going on, because now this child is still young. The mother's crying for, oh my child. Now the child is, when the one is dead, oh my child, what is going on? I mean, how are we going to build this country if we can't build these young boys and girls? How safe our children when you send them to school?
And Felix, that's really the question, right?
Who are you going to blame every day? The children being killing a teacher or killing themselves?
Mm.
Who do we blame? Do we take the law into our own hands? Then the mothers are going to tell you and cry, you don't touch my child, not my child. What is going on in this country? Is this becoming a banana republic that Peter Porter said before he died? Why are we allowing this? What are we doing about it?
Yeah, Felix, you're absolutely correct. You know, the concern is, you know, the peace of mind.
It's killing this country. Those are young minds. I mean, they don't know what is going on in this country. They can smoke, they can do anything, and they don't get punished. There's nothing going on.
All right, Felix.
I mean, how much money do we spend, Kathy, for at varsity level, these thing monies that we that are the student thing loans that the children get? How much is that?
Mm-hmm.
Compare what these children get with all their education to the senior citizens that are still getting 1,000 and some odd. How, just compare that.
All right.
Elderly senior citizens that we can't respect, but we thought, let's give our children education.
What are they doing? What are they coming back with? Mm. What are they doing to the country? What are they doing? Our tournament's falling apart. What is going on?
All right, Felix.
Who do we blame?
I'm going to ask you to leave it there for this morning. Thanks for calling in. And, you know, he asks about what is it that communities are doing as well. Well, Deboho Ubusidze is one of the community members of Mangaung. Deboho, good morning.
Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I'm wonderful.
Talk to me about your response as a community.
Yeah, look, Kathy, and I would like maybe to preface my opinion on this particular statement, that the only time that our chiefs would change their attitude is if there's a threat of pain. If they know that if they do wrong, there is a possibility that they might also be subjected to uncomfortable positions in their lives. But once you have a situation where every time something happens and you know at the back of your mind that even if I kill this boy, even if I stab this boy, nothing is going to happen to me because I will not be arrested. I will be protected by, we've got the best lawyers at home. As long as you know that there is something that is going to protect you, you would never, ever change from an attitude of making sure that other people are subjected to pain. We as communities, we've made sure that one of the things that we do, of which the law of this country says to us that it is not allowed, is to stop and search these boys randomly. But tomorrow, the very same government of ours is going to tell you that you don't have the right to go around stopping and searching people for weapons. And the worst part of this case is that these weapons are bought over the counter. You don't require anything. You don't need an ID. You don't need anything in order for you to buy a panga, in order for you to buy a knife. Now, you basically saying to me that I've raised my child so well, and my child feels that they are being threatened at school. People are coming with weapons. Why can't I buy myself a panga so that I must protect myself? Because there's no legislation that forbids me from buying this panga over the counter. It is bought randomly. And if you look at the incident, the boy was killed at knife point. And we are talking about the police, the community, and everything. But we're forgetting the most important elements, that how do these kids access what they are using in order to kill each other? Because if at all, let's say that this boy was given a fair chance to fight with bare hands, to fight for his life, I'm sure we would not be having even this conversation, because at least the boy would have had a chance to defend himself. But how do you defend yourself against weapons that are bought over the counter, of which in South Africa it is allowed and everything is good, because of the people who are directly affected are living in these particular communities? When you look at the minister is not affected by this because he does not care. He does not know in shops that you can buy a panga directly over the counter. But we are having this conversation as if we are addressing a particular incident. But we are seated in a country where the law permits any one of us, even when you leave now the studio, Casey, you can go any shop and buy a panga over the counter.
Mm,
So if we are not addressing that and we are talking about no government must do what, and at the end of the day, all we are saying is that at least even women themselves who are being brutally raped, who are being brutally killed, they would have a chance to fight for themselves if someone would come with their hands. But if someone comes with an object that they can easily buy over the counter, and tomorrow we are going to court, and at court, one, the people are allowed, according to our constitution, to have legal representation.
So Deboho, you're saying that there should be a limit of access. This is to potentially dangerous weapons.
Not, there should be a law that that prohibits us as members of the public to buy these dangerous weapons over the counter. And at least it should be traceable to say, at least I know Cathy is owning a panga, and if Cathy loses his or her panga, she must report that to the police. But if we are losing it and then you go and buy another one, and these boys are killing each other daily because we don't have control over the situation.
All right. Teboho, let's leave it there for this morning. Let me go to Khosi Mokgorosi and ask you, as we get ready to wrap this conversation up, what would you want to see happen?
I would like to see the Department of Arts and Culture and Sports, you know, going to school. You know, during our time, we had what we call semi-precise, you know, visiting school, you know, teaching us about art, culture, all these things. There were sports activities at school. So you find that our children, when they come out of school and they come to the townships, there's nothing that they do unless they go and do drugs, you know, smoke dacha, drink, all these things. And I'm saying that even those that the delinquent juveniles that comes from jail, you know, are the ones, again, perpetrators, and are the ones that, you know, luring all these young ones into groups and gangs. You know, they are fighting for numbers. Those are jail or, you know, people that are in jail, that they do that, you know. I mean, how could you fight for a number? So you need to be active. Department of Arts and Culture, Sports. I have drafted a plan and established an NPO dealing with arts and culture, though it had never had support from government. You know,
right.
That we take all these children and, you know, take them to send to places, you know, train them. You know, there must be activities that are happening in our township. Now you ask yourself, what will happen now as schools are about to close? Now these parents are going to be, you know, not happy to see their children at school, and they would wish that schools would open so quick so that they shouldn't go back to the teachers and do all these things there.
All right.
So
all right.
Yes.
Jose Mokgorosi, we're going to have to leave it there, unfortunately, but I think the point has been made. So greater support for some of the extracurricular activities that different departments could be investing in, that young people can be participants of, that will help in contributing to stem the violence that we are seeing. Let me thank all of my guests who are part of this conversation for the last hour. It's time for your latest 11 o'clock news.